welcome to the Investigative Journal this Thursday, September 6th. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski, and I'm on LibertyRadioLive.com, and I'll be on every day from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., and you can listen to the Investigative Journal live on LibertyRadioLive.com every day from 4 to 6 p.m. And today, before I get to my guest, Pastor Tony Alamo, who has an incredible story about how he found God, how he formed a ministry, and then how he's fought the powers that be, both in the secular and the religious side, to get the truth about what the New World Order is all about. And Tony's story is fascinating, and we'll spend 2 hours talking with a man that truly is worth listening to, because nowadays the truth is hard to find. You think you get it in many places, but you don't. I wanted to mention, let's just start off on the secular side today. And I wanted to mention a little bit about the media. I'm very disgusted with, and I worked in the alternative, first in the mainstream media for many years, and I'm very disgusted with the mainstream media. Everybody knows they're not getting the truth, but let me just say something about it. It's so obvious when you delve into it as a journalist and you try to uncover the facts, and the facts lead to places that people don't want to talk about, one including the Vatican. Tony will talk about that after I'm finished here for a few minutes, and I know he's just got on the line, but just give me a few minutes, Tony, to wrap up some things. I've been gone for about 4 or 5 days, moving into a new house in Netherland, Colorado, and just wanted to get back into the swing of things by mentioning that the mainstream media basically is a propaganda arm for the Vatican and our government. And it's very depressing when you start to research
if you'd like
the truth,
to make a call, please hang up and try again.
And when you research
you
the truth,
hang up
you find
and then
that
die
the Vatican is behind it and it's covered up by the mainstream media, you begin to wonder if the alternative media is doing the same thing. And I found working in the alternative media after leaving the mainstream media as a print reporter overseas in Rome for 6 years where I worked, and also in America, I turned to the alternative media, and the same disturbing facts I came out in the alternative media, although they cover it a little bit differently. I was very disgusted and depressed when I learned many people on GCN, RBN, the American Free Press, were all controlled by the same people. And there's an article that I've left on my website for Soul Boy since August 21st, and I've done it for a reason, because I want this message to sink in, because many people in the patriot movement say, well, you shouldn't be criticizing other patriots. Well, let's get it straight. These people are not patriots, and they're basically getting paid by the same people that we're going to talk about today, and that's the Vatican-controlled minions in our government and our banking system that have sold out through the Federal Reserve. So I have no qualms in mentioning this, because it's my personal story. It's what happened to me. And when I started to write about the Vatican, when I started to talk about it on the radio, I was literally thrown off. GCN, RBN, and American Free Press would no longer take my stories. And many of these other guys like Alex Jones, Jeff Rentz, John Stabmiller, who used to court me all the time, I'd be on their programs day and night. But once the Vatican came up, somehow, some way, that story was ended. And I was never on their show again. So what does it tell you? Is it me, folks? Heck no. All I was trying to do was tell you that the Vatican should be researched, that their tentacles go deep. And if you look at history, if you look at the deep hidden history of what they've done since the Jesuit, you know, prior, during the, when you go back to the Crusades, when you go back to the Inquisition, the formation of the evil Jesuit order in 1541, and you look at what they did throughout the course of our history, why is that not covered? Why isn't it covered on other places? The reason is that either people are being paid not to do it, or they're just useful idiots. And just look at the people. They have every access to information that I do. Look at the people on those stations. And if they don't cover it, it's for a reason. So I have an article on my website called Hatred for Jews, Main Goal of Vatican-Controlled American Free Press. No other publication in the history of the United States has done more damage to the cause of freedom as it continues its well-organized, deceptive, and divisive campaign to mislead people, according to freedom fighter Slats Grobnik, a man that I read about. And I said, let me just read a paragraph or two, and you can go to my website at arcticbeacon.com. It says, the American Free Press likes to say it is a bastion of freedom and liberty, leading readers down that real path of truth in the alternative media. What a joke. What a, just a crock of you-know-what. But no other publication in the history of the United States has done more damage to the cause of freedom as it continues its well-organized, deceptive, and divisive campaign to mislead people, according to Slats Grobnik and many, many other people who know the real truth behind this newspaper. And let me tell you this. They will not accept fair stories that I've written and other journalists write about the Vatican, and they even went to the extent of criticizing Eric John Phelps and ruining him after they printed something by him, as these other guys do. So you people that are listening to the radio and the alternative media, watch what you listen to, and watch how you think. Because you know what? All they want to do is confuse you, and I could go on and on and on, but I've got Tony Alamo with me, and I want to spend the rest of these 2 hours with him. And I know he has tackled the Vatican subject before, and we're going to get into that, as well as his ministry and many good things that he's done over the years to try to help people to get to the truth about the New World Order. And he knows very well, ex-Jesuit priest Alberto Rivera, who Tony, Pastor Alamo, had talked to before his untimely death. And let's just say this, his wife, Nuri Rivera, who was on my show, told me point blank that he was killed by the Jesuit order, and that she was bribed, she was offered a bribe of almost $1 million if she would discredit her husband, Alberto, who left the Jesuit order, and sign a document that he was insane. They also said they'd take care of her and his and young Alberto Rivera Jr. For the rest of their lives if they turned over the location of Alberto Rivera's gravesite. And their intentions, according to Nuri Rivera, was to dig up his bones and to bring them back to the Vatican. So we know what kind of sick people we're talking about. But let's get into Pastor Alamo's interview with this quote by ex-Jesuit priest Alberto Rivera. Quote, the main underlying Roman Catholic purpose is to infiltrate and penetrate all areas of life where the Roman Catholic Church can have control with excess in a one-world government. This has been in preparation, especially since the formation of the Jesuit order in 1541, to infiltrate absolutely, absolutely every area of society so as to take over the world politically and religiously. The two main doctrines of Catholicism that define this are the doctrine of apostolic succession, which is actually the papacy, and the doctrine of temporal power, which is secular government. The office of Pope illustrates this easily. The Pope is the head of the Church, as well as the head of the state of Rome. And with that, Tony, Pastor Alamo, how are you today?
Well, fine. How are you, Greg?
Pastor Alamo, are you with us?
Well, I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Are you with us, Pastor Alamo? I don't
hear
Alamo with us, so we're going to continue here and hopefully get him back on the line. Pastor Alamo, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I don't hear him. Tony's not on again, so we're going to try to get him back. And in the meantime, I hope that things are... let me know in the studio if you're hearing me okay. We're back on the Skype line. And when Pastor Alamo gets on, please let me know. And we're basically going to discuss how his ministry grew and many other things about Pastor Alamo. And you know something? Pastor Alamo's on, but I can't hear him for some reason, and there's something wrong with Skype, so I'm going to call up on the phone line right now and connect on my phone line, and if I can do that in the meantime, Pastor Alamo, you just stay set there. I'm going to call in on my phone and see if I can get Pastor Alamo. So let me do that. Live radio is always a lot of fun, isn't it? So anyway, let me switch over and see what we can do here. Studio should hear me calling in, and then we will switch over so that you may hear a little bit of dead air for a second.
Okay, hello. Tony, Pastor Alamo, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, Pastor Alamo.
Yes.
Yeah, we finally got together. I guess...
I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. I was on... I don't know what's wrong with this phone over here.
Well, that's fine. So what we'll do, we finally got it straight. I was on a sophisticated computer line that we've had some problems with in the past, and now I switched over to the telephone so we can continue. Sorry for the technical error there.
No problem.
You heard everything I said then about Jesuit ex-Jesuit priest Alberto Rivera, correct?
Oh, yes, yeah. Alberto used to stay at our house quite a bit for weeks, he and his wife. And I've also had him over at our church telling of the different things that he knew because of the fact that he used to be the right hand, you know, right next to the Pope in the Vatican. And that's when he got converted, he was able to break away from them and very courageously speak out about what the sewer of corruption that the Vatican is.
What kind of man did you find him to be, Pastor Alamo?
He was a very nice man. He was very, he was even a little bit, he liked to joke around a little bit, but he was very serious also. And he knew things about the Vatican that there's no way that he could possibly have known them unless he was involved with the Vatican. There's no possible way. It would have been impossible.
And like I said, I even interviewed his wife, who said that they tried to first bribe her with a lot of money to claim that to write a document, to sign a document that he was insane. And secondly, then they tried to find out where his bones were, offering to take care of her the rest of her life. So that shows you the kind of operation that they have. What you know, just before I want to get into a little bit of background about your ministry, which we haven't covered as much as we should in our last interviews. But I wanted to ask you a question. How did you get involved understanding who the real culprits were in the Vatican behind the, you know, this New World Order and our government, the government minions working for them? How did you first learn about that?
Well, we were being persecuted a lot. I was involved. You can go in the other room. I was as soon as I was in the promotional field, as you well know, and then I got into the ministry. I had a supernatural experience, and then I was saved, and then I met God put my wife and myself together. She had been in the ministry 25 years. And as soon as I got in the ministry, we started being persecuted like you can't believe. I believe it was because of the fact that I knew so many people in the industry, in the movie and recording industry. That's where I was out of. And every time we were persecuted, I would investigate where it was coming from, and it was coming from Roman Catholics. Mm-hmm. And then we traced everything. We were persecuted. I'd been thrown in jail just for distributing gospel literature. And as you know, recently the Pope stated that anyone that isn't a Catholic is not going to heaven. Well, I, you know, say the exact, anyone that is a Roman Catholic and they're not born again of the Spirit, they're going to not go to heaven. They're definitely going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. So that's how I found out. And then it just got so bad, and after Susie passed away in 1982...
And Susie, her wife who passed... How long ago did she pass away?
In April 8th, 1982. And after that happened, they were starting to say, "Wake up, little Susie." They were singing those songs like that and laughing and joking about her death. And actually, even before she died, she was in a coma, and they subpoenaed her body to go into a federal court hearing in Little Rock, Arkansas. This judge and marshals came into the hospital, the Oral Roberts Hospital in Tulsa, and started dragging her in coma body out of that hospital. And this Dr. Hoag called everybody, called the judge in Little Rock, and told him, "Look, she's in a coma, and she's probably not going to last through the night." And she didn't. And finally, he said, "Well, okay, we'll let her stay the night." And I mean, these people are like the biggest animals, and this is a Catholic judge, and it all comes from the Vatican. And this is what Alberto Rivera was telling me as well. That all your persecution, because you're preaching the real gospel, you're preaching the Bible, that they're going to persecute you, and he says that's where all your persecution is coming from. And so he, Jack Chick, and myself had a meeting in Chino, California. That's where Jack Chick's office was.
Mm-hmm.
And they filled me in on all the different things that happened to Alberto and what was happening to Jack Chick publishing. Jack Chick's wife was very, you know, and she died. And he said, after I put out my piece of literature called Pope Secrets, the Vatican started focusing everything on me. And he says, my wife is so grateful that you came around, because she was just going crazy. They were threatened. They were told that they were going to be killed. And his wife just said, Jack, stop printing that stuff of Alberto's, because you're going to... And when I showed him the Pope Secrets, they asked, had I ever been with the Vatican? I said, no. He said, well, how do you know all these things? I said, well, because I've had a very supernatural experience with the Lord, and I've been being persecuted all these years, suing myself for 17 years, and I found out that it is them. And then I started reading about them and tracing every persecution that we had came from the Vatican. As a matter of fact, former President Clinton was involved. Well, he pretended to be a Baptist until the time that he was president, and then he forsook the Baptist Church and went on tour with the Pope and said that the only thing that he liked about Perot was that he was a Catholic, and he just showed his true colors. And then I investigated him and found out that he went to Oxford University, went to Georgetown University, went to Catholic parochial schools all of his life. He was raised and trained by the Jesuits. And so he's the one that ordered all that Waco massacre with all those innocent men, women, and children over there to be massacred. And he and his lesbian attorney general, Janet Reno, all of them did that. And so I read back where, and I know you know this, that Abraham Lincoln was attacked and killed because of this group of people. James Wilkes Booth killed him, but there were several other people involved with that. I'm sure that you well know. And so they all fled to Canada, and then they went to... the Vatican hid them, just like the Vatican is hiding all those pedophiles, those homosexuals. And they're getting on television now saying homosexuals are not pedophiles. I mean, and they, you know, people believe what they hear on the Vatican news. The Bible said that the devil would be coming from Rome, its church, and that it would control the world government, which it is definitely doing now, and that it would be given a mouth, and that mouth is the news media. And right now I'm back in Los Angeles because they are trying to make us tear down all of our church buildings that have been grandfathered in for about 75 years, and we've improved them to where they're the nicest buildings out in the area. And they said, well, you know, we're afraid that you're going to get knocked down by an earthquake or flooded. Oh, the floods were here. Not one of our buildings was hurt, and the earthquake happened, and our buildings are still standing. But their buildings, like the Olive View Hospital, was knocked down to the ground, and several of the overpasses over here, our buildings are far more secure than their buildings are. And
are you talking about one of your churches in Canyon Country, California?
Yeah, actually three properties there in Canyon Country. They are telling us that we have to do something and get an architect to draw up plans, which costs $10,000, and then another $3,000 for an engineer to build buildings. We're not even requesting to build buildings. They're just saying that we have to do it to repair them, and they're all repaired. And then they're saying, then they said, well, we want to get a list of all the different things in the city hall that they have that shows all the persecution and all the documents that they came against us with and how we complied down through the years. We've been in those buildings now for 37 years, and all of a sudden, because of the fact that there's a water main going up a hill there to our number 5 property, now they we got word that they want to make it to where we can't, if we don't make all these repairs and if we don't get permits for all the oak trees there, that they're going to make us leave the property and give it to the government, because they want it. As there's the schools and the all the different buildings are coming out there. These contractors are opening up a lot of different apartment houses and building all kinds of housing projects out there. And now they want to get rid of. We've got around close to 200 acres there, and it's right on the highway, and we've got about $1 billion worth of water there. And Los Angeles is dry now. They've got a terrible water supply, and we have an unlimited water supply on our property at the church and the property next to the church. And everybody, in the government is trying to get a hold of that water, and that means we got to get rid of the Alamos. And this property has become very valuable. We've heard that it's worth $1 million an acre. That's $200 million plus the $1 billion worth of water. That's $1.2 billion worth of property we've got. And water is the most precious commodity out here in Los Angeles. There's a big drought here, and it's been going on for a long time. And they want our water. So, you know, if they say, okay, here's the fair price, you know, get lost. If it was a fair, if they do that, but they don't want, they want it to, they think that we're just weak, and, you know, but in reality, what they've done is opened up a tremendous lawsuit, because we've got documentation on the amount of persecution. There's like dozens of times they've raided the place. They took the little children over here and made them strip down because they heard that they were abused. They didn't find, and this is on record, they didn't find one scratch on them, and they made them sit out in a frosty morning up there in the mountains with no clothes on. And this is the government. And these little kids were so embarrassed, it was unbelievable, and their parents were protesting. But they come up there with bulletproof vests to try to make it look like we're dangerous. We don't even have a squirt gun or a water, you know, a water pistol on our property or anything like that. And they try to, they come up, and just the few days ago, the police came up there with bulletproof vests and stated, they were telling my boy, they didn't know he was my boy Cyan. They told him, what are you doing here in this church? Why don't you get out and have fun with the other kids, you know, like the dopers,
right,
and the kids that are in public schools where they're teaching them evolution rather than God. And this is the Vatican. They hate anyone that's preaching the gospel, and they have no intentions of backing off. Now this Pope is telling everybody that, you know, because of the fact that we believe the Bible, that we're a cult. And that's what President Clinton said, former President Clinton. He said, you know, this will teach people when they killed, murdered, slaughtered those people at Waco, he said, this will, right publicly on television, said, this will teach people to not belong to cults. And he said, and there's other cults in Arkansas, meaning us. I mean, you know, of course they called Jesus a cult, and they called all the different prophets and the apostles cults. But they're the ones that are the cult, of the world's most dangerous cult, and they're closing in, and they've raped this country. There's no more industry over here. Everyone's going broke. Everyone's having to work 2 and 3 jobs in order to make ends meet. They are just, people can't even pay the payments on their homes anymore, and the American people have not wised up to know, you know, that they've had it. And if they would just pray to the Lord and ask the Lord, if these things are true, well then, Lord, show us, and you know, give us the wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Now, there's 4 presidents that have asked me for advice. The last one was President Bush, who asked, sent 17 emails to me, to ask me what I would do to bring about peace in the Middle East. Now, evidently, these presidents must know that I know more than they do. And Fred Dalton Thompson, threw in his hat to get in on the election. As a matter of fact, he asked me for instructions a few years ago. He asked me to come to his hotel room in at the Sunset Towers on the Sunset Strip. He was doing a movie out here. And he knew that, you know, I know what's going on so far as promotion. He was lobbying for best video for the video stores.
Right.
The telephone company was threatening to put all the video stores out of business because they wanted to make a situation to where you could just call up the phone company and tell them you want any movie in the world on your television set and it would just go on. Well, that would be a practical thing for people to do, but then that would be a monopoly for the telephone company. And so he was a lobbyist in Washington, D.C. to put that end to that. And he told me that, you know, Tony, something's going on in my life because, you know, I was just sitting, just an attorney in Nashville, and here this woman comes in and wants to, you know, put expose Governor Blanton there for selling pardons. And he says, gosh, I didn't know anything about that. And so I told her, well, I'll think about it. And she came back again. So during that time, he made an investigation. Sure enough, that he found that that was true. And so he actually put him in jail for, put him in prison for doing that. And then he put Ronald, he put Nixon away. And on top of that, when he contacted me, that was before all that happened. But he was telling me how his career just kept going and going. They asked him to do a movie about his life, about this situation with Blanton, Governor Blanton in Tennessee. And so he did it. And he says, I'm not even pushing anything. And so the Lord let me know about 16, 17 years ago that he's going to be the president of the United States. And he was going to Vanderbilt, he told me, and he used to press his face against the window of my store in Nashville, which was called the Alamo of Nashville. I did the clothing for most of the superstars in the country and different wrestlers and fighters like Tyson and like Mr. T and Hulk Hogan and a lot of people like that. And he said, I always wished that one day that I'd be rich enough to buy one of the jackets or something at your store. And he said, my little daughter would just love that Barbie doll jacket that you did for Mattel Toys. And I says, hey, you're my guest. All right, just go ahead. I'll give you one right away. And so I sent it over to
you. I wanted to talk. We're going to take a short break in a minute here and then come back after a few minutes. But I did want to talk more about what's happening to your ministry in California right now, and basically what hopes you think you have to salvage it, and also if they're trying to do this at your other ministries. I know you have one at Texarkana, and I wanted to get into that. So let's take a short 3-minute break, and then we'll be back with Pastor Tony Alamo.
All right.
To be back, a second half hour of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski, and this is LibertyRadioLive.com. We're talking with Pastor Tony Alamo, who for the better part of 4 decades has been trying to spread the word of God, has ministries all over this country and overseas as well. And basically, Pastor Alamo wants to spread the message of the Bible, and he's been attacked constantly over the years by what he calls a Vatican-led New World Order. And presently is undergoing a trying to save his ministry and his church in Southern California, and it's located in Canyon Country, the one we're talking about. And I might add this, that at this point, what they're trying to do is close it down on a technicality, and at the same time not offer a fair amount of money. The government wants to usurp the property under probably eminent domain, and they're not offering a fair amount. I might add this, Pastor. I have a law degree. I don't practice law right now,
But if I could help you in any way to do any research, I would offer my services to you and anybody that I might know in California. I know a number of lawyers. That's where I got my law degree from. So if I could be of any assistance, maybe we could talk after the show. But anyway, tell us how this stands right now, and what's your hopes of getting, of salvaging that ministry you've had there for, what you said, I think 38 years. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, it's actually been 43 years here, but that property that they're trying to relieve us of, steal from us, is we've had that for 37 years, and we have our attorney Eric Lieberman in New York, and we have another attorney here that is in collaboration with him. They're both friends, and they've won many lawsuits together. And they're saying that they're showing so much, and we have so much evidence of persecution, that they believe that they've got a good case on the city of Los Angeles, and that's why I just got down to California here with all the documentation, and they're even trying to stop us from getting the documentation from City Hall over here. But my attorney called them the other day and told them what they're telling us is that we have to do all these repairs and everything, but first we have to go through get a permit, which runs $6,000, and then we have to go before all the citizens or whoever wants to in the area, and they've done such a smear campaign on us that, of course, the citizens in the area, they've been persecuting us as well, a lot of them, and so, of course, they would never vote. But that is like for a building permit, and we're not building anything. It's like a conditional use permit, and it's on the condition that the public would say that we could do that with our own property over here that has been improved greatly down through these 37 years. We've even put air conditioning in by, you know, and they're all qualified, licensed contractors that did all these things, and we had permits to show that we did them. But can you believe getting a permit for a couple of hundred oak trees that we've got on the properties? Oh, they've been there for over 100 years, I guess.
Oh,
it's just crazy stuff like that.
Yeah, it sounds like they want to get rid of you and take your property, is what it sounds like.
Right, because then they took one of our dormitories away. They closed it down. And so it's like, you know, they want us to scramble like they treat people like they're bugs or a bunch of rats. And they're doing that to many people here in the United States and throughout the world. And I'm warning them because God let me know that he's going to destroy a lot of these people out here. One of them he killed. There was a bunch of people on the city council out in the Falk area, which is right near the suburbs of Texarkana. One, they were really coming against us. And
now this is in your other ministry in Texarkana?
Right.
Yeah.
And they were coming against us, and one of the people died three times in his pulpit. He was supposed to be pastor, and then he died two times at the hospital, but he's alive now, but he can't hardly walk. He was a council member that was against us, and they were trying to get a lynch mob to lynch our people and to kill them. And they were saying it would probably, and they had a bunch of Vaticanites over there stirring up the people to the point to where they almost had a lynch mob going. And so my attorneys were infuriated because they're also Jewish, and there's the same kind of animals that murdered 6 million Jews in over in Auschwitz and other concentration camps. And, you know, there's so many people that know what they're doing, but they don't know what to do about it. If everybody would get saved and start calling on God to destroy them, he would do it just like he did Egypt to rescue the Jews from there, and just as he did for many other people in the Bible. If people are right with the Lord, there's nothing that these people can do against us. I'm not worried. I'm not relying on attorneys to do this for us. I'm relying on God, because another person at the city council, one of them out here in Los Angeles, dropped dead. and they had to appoint another person. And they've got a new person that's causing the trouble here now. It's named Joe Mosier from the building department, and he's the one that's saying we have to do all these things. And we had just a couple of years ago the health department and the fire department said we were fine, everything was fine. But now all of a sudden that they're bringing that water main up there, everything is wrong. They even want us to tear down another dorm where the brothers stay, and they want to do away with the three bungalows. They said it's in a flood zone. There's been many floods out there, and they've never been damaged. They're sitting up higher than the flood area. All those buildings are. And they want the water, and they want us out of there. They don't want us preaching the gospel. They don't want for people that are in on drugs and people that are in crime, and all. They don't want them to be safe. They want this country to run rampant with crime. I mean, that's just an obvious thing. They don't want people off of if they say they want people off drugs, but they really don't, because they themselves are on drugs. You've got these
yeah, good point.
I beg your pardon?
I said good point. Go ahead.
Yeah. They're on drugs, these people. They're crazy. In the public office, who ever heard this president now says he's wearing one of these defibrillators that gets his heart going? He's crying all the time. His wife is about ready to divorce him. The Bible said that the people in high offices in civil government would be crazy in the last days. And, man, you can just see it everywhere. I mean, the people are nuts. And because they're listening and they're following the instructions of the Vatican that the people should not read the Bible. The reason they don't want you to do that is because you'll tell the Bible tells you exactly who the Antichrist is. The Antichrist is a body of people, just like the body of Christ is a body of millions of people, and the Antichrist is a body of all kinds of people as well. So the ones that are believing the Vatican and the media and the government are the Antichrist. The ones that are fighting this Antichrist are people like yourself and millions of other people that believe God, like myself. And so we have these two forces, and the stronger force of all of them is the Lord. If everyone gets right with the Lord and prays to him, he said, call on me in a time of trouble, and I will come down and I will rescue you. I'll deliver you. And you can see that happens seven times in the book of Judges, where the people were sinning, and then they were put under a cruel taskmaster, like the Vatican-type people, crazy, wicked, evil, full of hatred for the gospel, full of hatred for God. God let them go under that so that they start crying out to him. And when they did, God lifted up a deliverer and delivered them from all of their problems. And there was peace in Israel for, say, 18 years, and another time for 40 years, and different various amounts of time. Then they started sinning again, and then God created an environment for them that would cause them to cry out to God. And he'd set some wicked people over them to where they would torture them, and then all of a sudden, finally, they'd call upon the Lord, and then the Lord would raise up a deliverer, a savior like Samson, and he would destroy their enemies, the Philistines. And it just went on and on. That book of Judges is fantastic. It's a great encouragement to me, and it should be to everybody in your listening audience, because if that's all you have to do. There's nothing. There's no other solution. I even told that to President Bush. There's no other solution but to get everybody right with the Lord and then pray to God, and then God will come down in a miraculous way. That's what's happening in the world now. God is, people are not turning to him. They're listening to the Vatican. They don't believe the born-again There's a lot of born-again Christians. I don't believe are born-again Christians such as, but if they believe the Bible and they do what the Bible says to do, God is going to annihilate people. And that's why all these tsunamis, these earthquakes, these floods, and everything, people just keep going on the way that they've always gone on. And the Bible says that if we go on the same way that we were going on before, that that's a soulish type of life. And the Lord wants us to live a spiritual type of life, a spirit life. And
you know,
can't
Pastor,
live... I beg your pardon?
Yeah. No, I was just going to break in a second and say that, you know, in the past we've talked about how you found God when you were working in the music industry, a very successful promotional business in Hollywood, and then how you started. But tell us how your ministries grew and where they're located now so people know a little bit about, you know, all the number, you know, how you've spread the word of God throughout the years.
Well, okay, so we have a church in Los Angeles in Canyon Country. It's at 13136 Sierra Highway, Canyon Country, California. And then we have a church also in Falk, Arkansas, and another one in Fort Smith, Arkansas, a great big church. The churches are very nice. We have a church in Manhattan. And we have services every evening at 8 o'clock and twice on Sundays, 3 and 8, and we serve meals after each service. And then we have churches, distributors all over the United States of my literature. And I'm on the radio stations all over the world. And then we have churches all over the world in over 200 countries now. And there are distributors there as well, distributing the literature. And we have... had it translated into many languages, and it's spreading the gospel. The literature that I've printed is saving thousands upon thousands of souls. It's like a wildfire with the letters that I get from these people telling that they're distributing literature, and people are changing. Muslims, witch doctors in Africa and India, and the Philippines, everywhere. They're really getting saved, and that's why Satan, I know, is fighting a lot of people, but I know why he's fighting me, that's for sure. And what'd you say?
No, I was just commenting that throughout all the years, you've been attacked numerous times, and you had a run-in with Clinton, I believe, didn't you, at one time? And a tax problem that where you spent 4 years in jail on a bogus tax charge?
Yeah, that was the former President Bush. He didn't like the fact that I had printed in one of my pieces of literature that he had six former Nazi war criminals as his advisors. Mm-hmm. And so what he did is closed our store and sold and took over $100 million of our property. This Judge Morris Arnold in Fort Smith, Arkansas, stated that... everything was my alter ego. This is a new law that he made. It hadn't anything to do with the Senate or Congress to make laws. So Morris Arnold made his own law. And so they said that all these backsliders that went back on narcotics and drugs stated that I had used them for so many years. Not that I'd been supporting them and built homes for them and everything else, but they said I'd used them. They said we had a slave labor camp. Anyone that could come to our church and just sit there and just hang around for a while, you'll see that there's nobody slaving over there. They said that the jackets that I was making, that it was child slave labor camp. There's nothing slave, and all those jackets were being manufactured elsewhere. And the older people, and I hired other people all over the country to put the rhinestones in place. I had patterns for them that I had from people, the best rhinestone design people in the world. And we had all that done, not by children at all, but we were in about 10,000 stores, and the Vaticanite federal government agencies went to the different stores and said, Tony Alamo is using child slave labor. They just make up stuff that's coming, you know, anything they want, they say. And that if you buy his stuff anymore, we're going to close your store down. And if you owe him money, don't pay him. Just keep it for yourself. And here I was using that money to support and build homes for people, and I deeded homes over to hundreds of people in the church because they'd been there for 10 years or longer, and they took those homes away too, saying they were mine, and they said that I ate all the food, and I mean, they're animals, these people.
You know, finally then they got you on a charge of tax evasion, I think, and it was a bogus charge. You explained that on your website at alamoministries.com. But also, if you go to my website, I just wanted my listeners to know, we may not have time to go in depth on that story, but we've had on Tony, Pastor Alamo before, as well as an FBI agent named John Peeler, who told our listening audience that he was assigned to bring you down in any way he could. He said that he could not find, he found you crystal clean and clear, and the only thing he recommended was that you doctor up the income tax forms and get them on an IRS charge, is what they did. He then left the FBI and has apologized to you since, and he did it publicly on my show. And so I wanted people to go to my website at arcticbeacon.com, and you can just put in, when you go to Investigative Journal Archives, just put in Pastor Tony Alamo, and that interview with John Peeler will come up. That's P-E-E-L-E-R, to listen to that. So there's a verification that what Pastor Alamo says is true. They jailed you for 4 years on a bogus charge. What's your feelings on that? I mean, must have left a bad taste in your mouth, and but I think it gave you even more strength to pursue pastoring. Correct?
Correct. They actually gave me a 6-year sentence on a bogus. I was railroaded, and everybody knows that. And on the phony tax charge, and then I, because of good behavior, I got out in 4 years, and then I had to do a half year in the halfway house. But yeah, that was actually John Peeler, the FBI agent that you're talking about, was ordered by the Vatican to assassinate me, and then he hung around our church long enough and our restaurant that we had in Elma, Arkansas, and found out that all the people were very nice, and he tried to find out if there was anything wrong or they had anything against me, and they couldn't find anything. He said I was squeaky clean, and he said that he refused to assassinate me, so they threw his son in prison, and he's still there to this day because he wouldn't assassinate me. This is typical Vatican stuff. It's not only happened to me, it's happened to probably tens of thousands of people.
Yeah, and, the, and his son was in the military, too, so they don't care who they harm. But yes, and his son is still in jail right now, and they're still trying to get him out. Incredible story. So, I mean, folks, if you're, you know, if you have any doubts, just go to my website. You can read all those stories, and also go and to Pastor Alamo's website at alamoministries.com, and you can read a lot more about Pastor Alamo than we're going to talk about today. But anyway, what's your take? You know, one of the things that upsets me so much is that this message that you're trying to preach, which includes both, you know, the religious and the secular, the Bible and the secular side of how they operate. But I find it so demoralizing that even on the in the alternative media, so to speak, on these stations that have cropped up, not this one, but stations that have cropped up on the Internet and in shortwave and basically serving millions of people now because so many people turn there, I find that they cover this message up so much that it led to me having to leave, or they told me to leave. And I'm sure, and since then, there's very few things I hear outside of on shows like this and a few others. What's your take on that? How can we do to change that trend? Because so many people listen to the internet now, and I just wanted to get your thoughts.
Well, and everyone, if they would believe what we're saying, I just saw the news, you turn it on, and there's a panda bear, and they're all talking about these guys that are running for president, and of course, that woman, massacre's wife, it's just unbelievable. The thing to do is to just get saved and then call upon the Lord, and that God will open up more doors for radius, for programs like yours and other people, and for radio stations like the one you're on right there. People that are sick and tired of being spoon-fed the news. They're sick and tired of it. There's a lot of people that don't know what to do, but the clearest and easiest, or God doesn't make it hard for people to know what to do. He just says, call on me and keep my commandments, and I promise you, and God does keep, he keeps his, I promise you, I will deliver you. And God's going to destroy this United States and many other countries around the world. These are just the beginning of sorrows. It's not going to get, if you remember the last time I told you, it's not getting any better. It's getting worse and worse as time goes on. Because people, the more they turn their back on the Bible and believe these people that are, they think that they're in power, the secular power, God will kill every one of them. Every single one of them, they just drop out of bed. You'll see them have heart operations, like former President President Bush is worried about dying, and they're all, God's going to take their lives unless they repent and start telling the truth. The media is closed up. There's no truth that's coming out of there at all, unless there's an automobile accident or a plane wreck or something like that. And then I look at it very narrowly, you know. But it's a sad state of affairs. But one thing I'm very greatly encouraged in is that there's God. And I know that he's real. He appeared, Jesus appeared in front of me with my eyes wide open. And he was telling me that I need to get into the Bible more and more and just trust him. He told me in Arkansas, they says, don't even hire an attorney. Just trust me. I'll take care of him. And half a dozen of them are so ill now that they can't even be in the city council. And the majority of people now, they believe my message that God's going to drop them all because they see that two of them have got tumors. Another one's got cirrhosis of the liver. There's an expected live. Another one had a stroke. The other one died several times. These are all city councilmen. And so my attorney is just saying, congratulations, it looks like you don't have to hire me. That was going to cost you probably $500,000. I said, yeah, that we don't really want to spend that kind. We want to spend our money on the gospel. So,
yeah.
You know, the Lord,
in about a minute, and then we... What's that?
I beg your pardon?
No, I said we have about a minute, and then we're going to take a break at the top of the hour. And then also come back for another hour, Pastor Alamo, and I have a whole bunch more questions for you. And you're listening to LibertyRadioLive.com. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski. This is the Investigative Journal. My guest today is Pastor Tony Alamo, and what a story it is. Why don't we get together and make sure that he does not lose that ministry in Canyon Country, California. And just an aside, when I lived in Southern California, I drove by it many times, and it's in good shape. I mean, I've seen that building, and there's no reason for it to be torn down or to be sold to the government for a penny on the dollar. So we'll be back after these short messages.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. For any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet, then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.